Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by James Short, CEO of Celladon Pharmaceuticals. Welcome back to the podcast, Jim. How's life?
Wonderful. Living the dream, as I tell everybody.
Living the dream. I do like that. Bit of sarcasm, but, you know, I do like it. So, yeah, we obviously saw news, Jim, that the company's confirmed receipt of £1 million in new funds under its secured facilities following its 30th of June update. With the funds now in place, the company intends to proceed with a delisting with further details to be announced soon. Tell us more about this latest news and, you know, what are the strategic advantages of delisting for Celladon beyond accessing potential more money?
So the first one, yes, it's £1 million, but actually it's 1.5 million from the same lender because there was an RNS a couple of weeks ago. So it's really good. And this particular lender is a shareholder. So in my view, it shows that, you know, we've still got support from shareholders. With regards to the delisting, it's something that the business has been looking at for the last 2 years, actually. You know, we've done a detailed study of, you know, is this market right for us? And we came to the decision that we feel that it currently isn't right for us being on AIM. So we decided to, you know, hopefully get shareholder vote towards the end of this month where we can come off the market, regroup and just push forward, you know, with vision.
Yeah, I wouldn't say regret, but do you have any reservations about being on the market? I mean, being you now, would you have gone on the market in the first place?
I get asked this quite a lot, actually, and I actually don't regret doing it because when we went onto the market, even though we've only been on 3 years, it's actually a 5-year program. So we looked at it a couple of years before we went on the market because it took so long getting on. And when we went on the market, you know, the markets were buoyant, they were fine. But since then, the whole thing has just come down, not just because of us, you know, there's lots of other businesses on AIM that have struggled. I saw one report that 2/3 of the businesses since we IPO'd have now left this exchange. And that started to ring alarm bells. But for us, Phil, you know, we knew we would constantly be raising money because we're an ever-growing bio company. And one thing I did find was we found it very difficult to raise capital on this market recently over the past 12 months, maybe a bit longer. So do I regret it? No. If the question is, if I knew then what I know now, would I have done it? No, I wouldn't have gone on the market. Yeah. But, you know, we haven't got a crystal ball.
Absolutely not. And obviously there was also operational progress reported on the 30th of June RNS. How do you feel things are going? Obviously, we saw successful home office audit, you know, expanded growing capacity of phase 2 fit out near completion. We also saw a significant, you know, the first supply made to a US customer, opening a whole new market potential. But just talk us through how things are progressing behind the scenes, Jim.
So having built a number of businesses over 30 plus years, I call it the light bulb moment, or you know, you're getting your flow, you're in your lane. And honestly, we are in our lane. We understood the business at the beginning, but we now are in our lane. Look, it's been challenging, as every business is. Our biggest challenge, I've got to say, is the regulatory framework. It's took us far longer than what I expected, like 18 months longer than what even I expected. And I'm quite patient at best of time. But that hurts. That's a big impact when you've got a burn rate, you're 18 months delayed before you can get to revenue. But we're there now. You know, we're pushing ahead. Super excited with the business. Like the American thing, you know, everybody's saying, you know, that's like us selling sand to the Arabs. It's worse. Product, not big volumes. It's quite technical. I won't go through it. But, you know, we've done it. We've sent product to America. Great opportunity for us.
So, Jim, you're being very, very nice, I think. Basically, the regime that you had to go under because of Celladon being involved with cannabis has been horrendous.
Yeah, you're right, Kevin. And obviously, you guys know this business as good as many people because you've put a lot of effort into us. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that we have what's called a special condition. We're the only company on AIM, I believe, that's got a special condition. Actually said to our Nomad once, let's take that as a compliment or an hindrance, and actually it's become an hindrance. From a cost point of view, you know, it cost us, I believe, last tax year, just over £1 million to be on AIM. When you look at other companies with a market cap of 500 or whatever, 250 to 350,000 pounds will be on him. There's a big discrepancy. It's just, and not only does it cost us more, it takes us twice as long. The Valios deal, I keep going on about it, that took us 9 months longer than it should have done because of everybody's nervous because of the space we're in to make sure lawyers have had a field day out of us, but it is what it is.
So as a private company, which is what you're aiming for, and there's going to be a vote on that, obviously, through the GM, you're going to save that £1 million, I mean, pretty much. Maybe some of it will have to be paid, but not very much of it.
We'll save the chunk of it, definitely, yeah. And we'll be a lot faster. Don't get me wrong, we'll still be working within compliance, and that's why I've been happy that we went on him because it set us up for our next journey, which obviously we'll come on to at another date or today. But it sets us up. So we'll keep our corporate governance, we'll keep all our governance in place. But yeah, we'll make a huge saving. And look, Kev, my job as CEO and founder is to look after our shareholders' investment. All right, I'm one of the largest shareholders, so I'm looking after my own investment as well. But I'm a very careful northerner, and I just do not like wasting money. And it's my job to try and protect that investment. But I just can't control the way the markets have gone. Just
Yeah.
80% down. I can't. It's like trying to plug a hole into a bath that keeps leaking. It's just so difficult.
Yeah. No, I mean, we personally have had many phone calls over the last 6 to 9 months without them being recorded. And I have suffered through your frustration at the same time. So, I mean, I'm with you. I think it is the right move for the company to move this way. Probably also then to go private, to get yourself a substantial income base and then become the real farmer that you're meant to be. You may well be going to be producing some cannabis, but the reality is you're going to be producing pharma quality products that will be sold in Europe and probably in the USA. Is that a fair summation?
Yeah, and there's other partners that we're talking to as well in different parts of the world. But yeah, that you've summed it up. We've got a catalogue of products that we've been developing over 6 years. We've got a gangbuster that we hope that we'll launch Q1 next year. And the idea is just, show that revenue coming through. As Lewis Hamilton always says, show it on the track, and that's what we're poised to do. They've just got to let me get on the track, and we're on it. I've just got to put the foot down now.
Yeah, for existing shareholders so that they can understand. I mean, this isn't a I will always be a private company play. I presume that you're going to build yourself up to a point where you can then relist on whatever market you feel is appropriate.
Yeah. So it's either we relist or we sell the business. We do a strategic partnership. I've done three in my career and they've worked well. I've done one IPO that worked well to a degree, just the market didn't work out for us. So yeah, that's why I've said, Kevin, we're going to keep our corporate governance. We'll just save an awful lot of costs. And we've been looking at other markets. India is incredible, but you've got to say that a lot of companies in our space are going to the US for a reason. Access to capital, valuations. All right, your small to mid cap isn't quite there in the US yet, but when that comes back, you watch it. As eggs are eggs, when US comes back, it goes incredible.
Yeah. And just give us a, if you can, any more detail on this potential 20 million and even the 1.5 million that's come in. I mean, what level of equity do they expect at what price, etc.? Maybe you can't give me those details, but
Yeah,
it'd be
no, I can. So the 1.5 million is zero equity. That's just debt. It's an existing shareholder. He's part of a larger family office, their own family office. They want to look at widening the facility to 7 million, but they're going to want equity if they do that. So the 1.5's pure debt. It's 2 year debt. He's already got a lot of equity in us, but it's a pure debt facility. Once we're off the market, he wants me to sit down with him and his family office. In fact, he's appointed somebody recently to come in and start looking to start the DD. So once that's there, we can talk to them around, fetching on 7 million. But that will be as a convertible loan note. Now, the 20 million, the proposal we've got is a convertible loan note. The chap is already an existing equity holder and it will be a convert. Typically, I can't say too much, but it's typically at a discount of an event, and the event will be in 2 years' time. It's a 4 year facility, but an event in 2 years' time on an IPO or an exit, and that person will get a discount on that. So it's not one of these spiral convertibles that a lot of the UK investors are used to. And we can't take a spiral on because we're not a public, well, you know, we won't be a public company then.
Yeah, no, looking at your current market cap now that you've suspended, it's 8, 9 million. So 20 million is going to blow everybody out, but that's not what you're saying is going to happen.
No, that's the challenge. You know, how can I raise equity at a current share price? Because a capital always looks at your share price, and you know, you guys have been and seen what we've got. There's no way we are 10 million market. That's just bonkers. You couldn't. Canaccord did a report, analyst report 2 years ago, that it would cost 90 million and take 4 years to get to where we are. That was 2 years ago, without our license to sell. So how is a 10 million market cap correct? It's just.
Yeah, no, the market in many ways is broken. I was having this conversation with someone this morning about other stuff, but it is broken. AIM basically in a situation where lots of companies have left. I think more will leave, and you're just going to be another one of those. I don't actually say that you're casualty. You have a very good underlying business, and the reality is for a small business SME to grow, it needs capital. And that's the whole point of the capital markets. But if they're not working properly, then it doesn't work, So maybe this will all change as time goes by. But I think because of the added problem, which shouldn't really be a problem, but the added problem of the cannabis side of things, this just means, it's crazy. I mean, you said £1 million, but I don't think that £1 million even probably includes your legal costs in terms of having to get things done as well.
No, and that doesn't take into account nearly 60% of my time has been taken up dealing with what we're having to deal with. You know, we do an RNS, we've just done that last one, that took 12 turns. That takes time, you know, that's the team. That's it. It's listen, if we're at a 2 billion market cap, I wouldn't bother 12 times, but it's the positive and negatives are outweighing, and it's just not for us. And we've built a great foundation. We're ready to go. We just need more capital and we're off. And it's not just me saying that. If you've got a very savvy investor that's willing to give us a facility of 20 million, all right, it may be too expensive and we won't take it. But cut through the what it is, if that person is prepared to do that we must be doing something right. That's all I can say.
Well, for sure, you're worth more than 10 million.
There you go. It's just bonkers. It's just, we've even had some of the US guys coming in saying, oh, you know, we'll have a go at you. We'll do this, do a share swap at this. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, we're going to cut it there because you're obviously going to publish some sort of prospectus or some sort of circular that will go out. So once that goes out, we'll reconvene and have another good chat. And also, just delve more into the business as a whole in terms of the different areas and things that you've got going. And for shareholders, there will almost certainly be a scheme set up where you will be able to trade the stock as an unlisted company. So, again, don't worry too much about that.
Yeah, so just on that quickly, Kevin, I will push for time. We have had a number of people that didn't really understand. They thought when we delisted, they've lost the shares. That is not the fact. They've paid for their shares are theirs. Now, if they got it in a certificate in the safe, keep it there. If it's crested with the Hargreaves Lansdown on one of these platforms, it's still fine. We have signed up to use JP Jenkins, and we will be sending all that information out to shareholders. So your shares are safe. You've still got them. You know, keep hold of them. You know, keep with us on the journey.
Yeah, and we've also discussed as well that we're going to keep this communication going so that shareholders will have regular communication about what's going on. So, yeah, again, won't be listed, won't be as easy to trade maybe, but let's hope it's going to be a great success.
Oh, it will.
On that note, we'll say James Short, CEO of Celladon Pharmaceuticals, thanks very much for appearing back on the podcast.
Thank you, guys, and thanks to the shareholders. Keep in.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.